And Leah McFall is our book reviewer this morning. Kia ora, Leah.
Kia ora, Catherine.
She's the quintessential New Yorker, although there's so many of them that they basically all are. The Fran Lebowitz Reader is by Fran Lebowitz. She's been having something of a profile lately. I was starting to watch a Netflix docu sort of thingy on her a while back. And now we have this book.
Yes, and the book capitalises really on her renewed prominence because of the Netflix series. So her mate Martin Scorsese released basically 5 or 6 episodes of her just talking in a New York club, because she's so opinionated and she's so entertaining and she's just undiluted and unapologetically herself. And I think a whole new generation has now been introduced to her who may not have heard of her before, because let's face it, she hasn't actually written anything substantial for years, for decades. She's famously had writer's block since about the early 80s, and makes her living now as a raconteur, as a public speaker and a public wit in the old style. She's sort of like, people talk about her as the successor to Dorothy Parker, but I think she's more of an Oscar Wilde, who famously wrote amazingly successful things, but was also incredibly entertaining in person and in public. And she is definitely that. So this is actually a collection of her most famous columns, and it's been reissued. It republished, if you like, 2 collections of her columns, which shot her to fame. So the first collection was Metropolitan Life in 1976. That's half of this book. And the second half is Social Studies, a further collection that was written, she was only in her 30s. And that was first published in 1981. And this edition isn't even the first time that those 2 books have been published together. This book is preceded by a foreword that she wrote in 1994. So it's basically 40 years old, this writing. But if you're anything like me, this is the first time you've read any of her stuff. And I didn't have a lot of preconceived ideas. I hadn't even heard of Fran Lebowitz before I saw the Netflix series. So I came to it pretty green. And I can see why she is such a famous Grinch, because everything she writes, it's incredibly entertaining and virtuosic, really, a completely dazzling humorist, like nothing I'd ever read before. But she starts sort of from a position, her topic is usually New York, something New York based. So she'll take things that basically annoy her, which there's just a vast array of topics to choose from. She writes about how she's annoyed by clothes with writing on them, by overpriced apartments. Small things bug her, like heavily tanned white people. She's really upset about the smoking bans that are starting to come into New York. She doesn't like badly parented children, and she's got really strong views about Los Angeles. But she writes from this kind of sardonic outsider perspective, and she's famous for her epigrams, her little short, pithy, terse sentences. Like one of her famous ones is, "The opposite of talking isn't listening. The opposite of talking is waiting." Great people talk about ideas, average people talk about things, and small people talk about wine. You know, those are the things that people repeat. But actually, when you read these columns, you realize she's a really dense intellectual prose stylist, and you have to really apply yourself as a reader, because it's quite intense. You know, she's so clever and she's so unapologetic about being clever that you have to reread some of these paragraphs several times before they sink in. So as a reader, you need a bit of stamina, and I would say it's not the kind of collection that you would read in 1, 2, or 3 sittings. You've just got to take little nibbles, because you can have too much Fran Lebowitz.
Yes. Like you can have, I don't know, too much pastrami or something else that is quintessential New York. Did you feel a tad ripped off, given she's famously had the writer's block? Did you feel a tad ripped off, or was it portrayed in a way where you could celebrate the fact here was a collection of work that is still very readable in 2021? How were you left feeling about
it? Completely. Yeah, I did feel a bit... I felt this was rushed out a little bit. I would have loved to have seen a renewed forward from her. I mean, she's still got plenty to say, although she's got her critics who feel that she's kind of stuck in a bit of a time warp. She's incurious about young people and technology and pop culture. I mean, personally, I think she can be forgiven as a humorist for all of those things. That's not why we love humorists. They don't necessarily have to have their finger on the pulse. They just have to have a really strong point of view. So I would have liked to have seen that. I would have enjoyed reading something contemporary from her at the start. But, you know, it is at times the references are lost on me, a little bit dated about sometimes people and places and trends that have long gone. But that's part of the pleasure. I mean, even the font is old school. You know, this is New York as it was in the dirty old 70s. And I think if you're interested in American humor writing and you want the canon, you know, you want the big ones on your shelf, you have to have this collection.
Thank you. Leah McFall has reviewed The Fran Lebowitz Reader by Fran Lebowitz, published by Hachette Aotearoa New Zealand. $45 for the hardback, $33 for the paperback.